seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD Brand Weather Stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Live on air, presented by Jer Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome to another Live on Air, the Irish programme here on Talk Radio Europe. I hope I find you well. I hope you've had a good week. And I can promise you lots of exciting things between now and 7 o'clock. Do stay with me, please, if you can. Coming up this evening, the Portumna players from County Galway in Ireland are in town. When I say in town, I mean Fuengirola. They're performing live in Fuengirola on Wednesday night for one night only. I'll be talking to Dolores O'Shea about that. The first ever Irish Book Week is happening from the 27th, which is this coming Saturday, and I'll be talking to Ivan O'Brien from Publishing Ireland and the O'Brien Press about that. There's another first. It's happening in Trim in County Meath. The first ever Trim Trad Festival is happening, and Michael Hughes is the chairperson of the organising committee. He'll be talking to me about that festival, which kicks off on Thursday. And Peter O'Dwyer has been a very busy person because he's been in Brussels over the last week. As you know, we like to talk to Peter regularly about Ireland and Brexit. There was a lot happening, and we'll find out from Peter exactly what was happening on the programme. So that's all coming up. We have some lovely music in there for you as well, and a few other bits and pieces. I'd like to tell you on a weekly basis about some birthdays coming up throughout the week that might be relevant to you, or you might know them from back home in Ireland. They're all Irish birthdays, and there's only two really this week. The first of those is tomorrow, the 23rd. Ivan Yates, who used to be a Fine Gael politician, former minister as well. He was born in Enniscorthy in 1959, so tomorrow he celebrates his 59th birthday. He's now a broadcaster, radio and television back home. And on Tuesday, a fellow by the name of Niall Breslin, we know him as Brezzy, and this is him you can hear in the background. He was born in Mullingar in 1980, so happy 38th birthday to Niall Breslin, Brizzy. I want to say a happy birthday as well to one of my best pals back home in Ireland. That is Peter Houlihan, whom I know tunes in on a regular basis. So we'd say happy birthday to Peter. Lots of love and best wishes from all the Sweeney gang. And we say hi to Liz and all the family as well who might be listening to us at the moment. Let's get underway with music. Here is the fabulous Brizzy, as I said, celebrating his 38th birthday on Wednesday. It's Live on Era, the Irish programme on Talk Radio Europe. Your voice in Spain.
Some things fade, some fade faster, some stay longer and disappear. Some get weak and others stronger as they discover what true love means. Some of us get high, but some fall deeper, just fall deeper and can't get out. Which of these am I? Am I a leader or do I fall? So you've got to look back if you want to move forward. Every step I took was always paved with gold. It's hard to watch your friends grow old, but hey, you know, you can't stay young forever. You can't stay young forever. took risks and suffered failures. 10 years later, stars align. We can't stay young forever.
That's a great song, isn't it? It comes from Brizzy, Niall Breslin, celebrating his birthday on Wednesday, and Can't Stay Young Forever. I suppose it's appropriate to play that particular one, isn't it? Right, don't forget the contact details, by the way, if you'd like to get in touch with the programme. Ger, G-E-R, at talkradioeurope.com is the email address. And I got a lovely email last week from Brian McMahon, who is listening, or who was listening to us on the A7 down near Marbella, he said at the time, but I think he's permanently based in Benalmádena. And Brian, I would presume, is originally from Limerick, because he wrote to me to tell me how much he enjoyed listening to John Frawley singing Pearly Shells a couple of weeks ago when we did the feature on Pirate Radio. So Brian, thank you very much for that and taking the time to let us know. Anybody that likes to get in contact, we'd like to hear from you. Ger at talkradioeurope.com. You know, we Irish have often been told we love a bit of drama. And you're right, we absolutely do like a bit of drama, and we like the drama that we see in theatres as well. I'm talking about drama groups that are very big back in Ireland, and I'm delighted to say that one of them is coming to visit us in Spain, in Fuengirola, to be honest. Dolores O'Shea from the Portumna Players Drama Group joins me on the phone. Dolores, good evening, and thanks very much for taking time to talk to us.
Good evening, Gerard. Thank you for giving me the time.
No, Portumna Players coming to Fuengirola. What's that all about?
As you know yourself, you'll find a drama group in every little rural town in Ireland, and Portumna, which is in the east of County Galway, is no different. And we put on this very, very funny play back in April. It was around Easter time. And then after a few pints in the pub, a few of us come out to Fuengirola and Benalmádena very often. Someone just made a suggestion. It was kind of, it was a joke at the time. In fact, one of the people in the group couldn't even get his head around Fuengirola. So we have a new word for it called fun galore. And the chairperson, she just kind of ran with it, and she messaged the theatre, and it kind of took off from there. They were very interested. It's a universal story. The play is called For Better For Worse, and it kind of all started from there. We didn't really think it would come together, but it has.
Well, there you go. Where exactly are you going to be performing?
The theatre is in the centre of Fuengirola. It's just off the main square. It's called Salon Varieté Theatre. Excuse my French pronunciation, but it's actually an English-speaking theatre. Right. It's the only one, I believe, in southern Spain, and it puts on a very high standard of entertainment. They do a lot of musicals, they do plays, they do reviews, pantos, that kind of thing, and we're just performing for one night, which is on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, October the 24th at 7:30 in the evening. And as I said, the play is called For Better For Worse. It's by a man called Jimmy Carey. Yeah. Who lives back in Ireland. He's written a lot of comedies, and
talk to me a little bit about Jimmy Carey.
He's written over 20 plays. We did one of his previous plays called The Two Loves of Gabriel Foley.
Right.
That kind of did the universal story of the bachelor farmer getting married a bit later in life, the interfering mother, bossy sister-in-law, or the eccentric sister-in-law who comes to stay, the glamorous one from town who tries to turn his eye. And then, of course, everything comes together in the end. And it's just in between, it's a barrel of laughs. And this one is really funny. We had a lot of fun doing it.
Right.
We think it has application for everyone, and that's why we decided to bring it out here to Fuengirola.
So February, March and April back in Ireland is when the drama season is really, because that's when the community drama groups do their things and you've got the drama festivals in various places. And then there's an All-Ireland usually held sometime around the end of April, am I right?
That's correct, in Athlone, yeah.
And so did you do this for the drama festival this year? You did?
No, we didn't. Okay. This wouldn't quite be the... Well, we go to the drama festival every year and Athlone, it's only a skip and a hop from Portumna to get there. So we do go almost every night to see the plays, but we don't enter ourselves, or we haven't. But actually the founding of Portumna Players came about as a result of they actually did win the All-Ireland the very first year they went out, back in 1945 with their production. So that was actually the founding of the group, and it's been going since then.
And you've done something every year, have you?
Practically every year. Now, I haven't been involved every year. I lived abroad for a long time and I came back to Portumna, which I'm originally from, in 2010, and the first thing I joined was the Portumna Players, and it was the best thing I ever did, because
really?
I have it's kind of my social group as well. We have a lot of fun together. And as you know, I think the amateur drama groups in rural Ireland, they came together as a way to pass some of the long winter nights, and I think that's still a little bit true today.
How many of you are going to be coming to Fingarola?
Well, the core group is about 10. So there's about 8 on stage, and then we've a stage manager, and then we have our director, Jim Hines, and then we have a lot of friends and family that are coming with us. We're trying to tap into maybe the Irish expats or the Irish that are living here who'd like a fun night out, and I promise you it is very funny, but also of course anyone else who's interested in theatre and may not even know about theatre in Fingarola.
Yeah, because the Irish drama scene is fairly unique, because you get great characters on stage and they play great characters as well. So I think if you are English speaking, doesn't matter what nation you're from, I think you'd have a good night out at it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true.
And still. Dolores, do you have a website or somewhere that people can check out the Portumna Players drama group?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, and it's called Portumna, which is Portumna. It's a little bit difficult to spell, but Portumna Players Drama Group is the name of our Facebook page. Yeah, or else if you Google the theatre in Fingarola.
Okay.
Salon Variety. Yeah. Perfect. You'll find details of the play and booking.
And you can book online, or you can give them a call. And you're looking at a 7:30 start, is that right?
Yeah, at 7:30. That's quite early for us. But I guess out here in the sunnier climes, that's probably a standard time. So it is 7:30, yes, is the starting time. And I can tell you the box, I can give you the telephone number of the box office if you want, or the website.
Do, sure, shout it there. Hopefully somebody will grab it.
Well, the box office is 952-47-4542.
Perfect.
And the website is a little bit more difficult. It's www.salon, as in salon, S-A-L-O-N, then variety, V-A-R-I-E-T-E-S, theatre. That's all one word, .com.
Okay. Well, look, I wish you well on Wednesday evening. Unfortunately, I'm back in Ireland at the moment, so I'm not going to be able to be there. But you never know, it could be an annual event and we might see you here on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, tell all your friends and relatives. And could I just say one last, just I should thank the theatre actually for hosting it, and in particular Owen Griffiths, who's been our contact there. I think he's chair of the board there. He's been extremely helpful and has encouraged us all the way.
All right. Well, listen, we wish you well, Dolores.
Good health.
The Portumna Players Drama Group happening in Fingarola on Wednesday evening of this week. They're presenting Jimmy Keary's For Better, For Worse, which apparently is quite funny. Dolores, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Ger. I'd like to thank each one of you for all the work you gave. Tonight the show is going to see the light of day. Let the dancers take the stage and let the music play. Tonight we'll do it as they would on old Broadway. Up to
sing it from your heart. He's in every shadow, every night, in every part. Bye bye love, bye bye love, bye bye love, bye bye love.
That's just a beautiful song, and it comes from the late Christy Hennessy. That's a song that's called Bye Bye Love, a tribute to Vivian Ellis, and I thought it would be appropriate to play that after we spoke to Dolores. We're going to take a very quick break. Come back to me just after that, please. I'll be talking about the Irish Book Week, the first ever. Don't go away.
Ger Sweeney presenting Live on Era. Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
The inaugural Irish Book Week takes place from next Saturday, the 27th of October, and runs through until the 3rd of November. It's a nationwide celebration of Irish books and bookshops. And joining me on the phone right now from Publishing Ireland and the O'Brien Press is Ivan O'Brien. Ivan, thank you for talking to us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
It sounds like a wonderful idea, but I'm surprised that this is the first ever Irish Book Week. It's great.
It is great, yeah. I suppose sometimes booksellers and publishers, we work together, but we're not always in the same room on things.
Right.
And so this is probably the first time that we've got together to build something that faces the public and to say publishers, booksellers, authors, libraries, we're all on the same side.
Right.
And we all want to promote reading in whatever context, and particularly reading in your own town, your own village, with your own family. And so keep it local. Meet people who also love books, and where better to do that than in a bookshop.
Absolutely. And is this about getting people into the bookshop to read, or is it just getting them into the bookshops to buy books and to take them away and read them?
Well, we'd love if they'll buy the books, obviously,
yeah.
But we're happy if people are getting their books from libraries or borrowing them from friends or anything. But really, the hub of knowledge about what books you're going to like, what the next book you should get after the last book that you loved, etc., is from experienced professionals who know this stuff, and those are in bookshops and libraries. I think most people love the idea of having a relationship with a bookseller, someone who they can go in and have a talk to and say, I read this book last month and it was just brilliant, it's still going around in my head, is there anything else on your shelves that you think I should read next?
Okay.
And that's what a bookshop is best at, and it's best at building community. And so what we've arranged is a series of events in bookshops throughout Ireland that will take place in bookshops. So not big, expensive, fancy events. We're talking about local books, authors just coming in, signing a few books, chatting to people. We're talking about some child-friendly events, so, you know, Halloween, given that when it's running. And we've got a couple of slightly scary but not too scary events going on,
right,
as well as some high-profile author signings as well. So just kind of a bit of everything, really. Draw people into the shops, hopefully get people aware of the brand, recognising the lovely new logo we have, and get them thinking about what Christmas presents they're going to buy, obviously.
Is the growth of the internet, is that causing a lot of concern for booksellers and for publishers?
Yeah, I mean, it's good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, we all use the internet all the time. We use it for getting our information. We use it for shopping. We use it for everything. Books, in some ways, are the opposite of the internet. The internet says, look at me, I'm new, I'm flashy, I'm changing every 5 minutes. Whereas a book is, give me some time and I will bring you to a different place.
Right.
And they do it really, really well. So, you know, I buy some books on the internet, but actually the quiet space that a book of any type, whether it be, you know, a short, funny book for kids, long, serious history book, or just a beautiful thing, or a cookbook, it transports you if you allow it the space and the time in your life. And we want to encourage that. Obviously, the internet allows you to buy books. So, you know, in Spain, you can buy an Irish book as easily as someone down the road can. And that's a fantastic innovation. But in all of our views, the important thing is to get people away from the 30-second fix on your phone and into a 10-minute to an hour or even more on a book. Whether that's an e-reader book or a physical book doesn't make a huge amount of difference, but just something that you allow to take over your space for a short while. And any surveys and studies that have been done show that people are pretty much at their happiest when they're reading a book. You know, you ask people what their idyllic setting is, their happy place, and generally it's sitting under a tree on a sunny day reading a book.
It is, yeah. I'm one of these readers.
Or something like that.
I have to clear my schedule if I start a new book, because if I get stuck into it and it's good, I just don't put it down. And I love that. And you're right, you can get just transfixed completely when you're reading a book. Are young people reading as much as ever?
Pretty much, yeah.
Good.
It's one of the great things, because particularly with the growth of the internet and tablet devices and, you know, super phones and Wi-Fi everywhere and everything, is the concern that young people simply wouldn't be able or interested in boring old words. And actually, they are. Now, there's threats and challenges all over the place, and it's, you know, you do have to fight for all that attention. But yeah, kids do read. And actually, in terms of book sales, which obviously we're interested in, children's books are performing better year after year after year, while other areas are finding it harder, because parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles will still buy books for children because they appreciate just how important they are. And kids report that they prefer reading a good old physical book on paper and giving it the time. And that's great.
Good. Now, just give us a couple of examples of things that are happening. You said there's a couple of things happening around the country with readings and meeting authors and stuff. So do you want to give us a couple of examples?
Donal Ryan, who's one of our ambassadors for the event, is doing readings in three different bookshops in one day. He's going to be kept busy.
Right.
Our author and illustrator, Shona Shirley MacDonald, O'Brien Press, author and illustrator, has done a fantastic picture book called The Puka Party, and she is going to be in Hodges Vigus doing a live event to scare kids just a little bit. Yeah, there's rakes of things going on all throughout the country. You know, talk to your local bookshop. See, do they have something coming up?
Yeah.
Go visit and see. I have John Boyne and Paul Howard in conversation, which would be a great event. I wish I could go to that myself.
Right. There's a talk about Rory Gallagher, I see, in Waterstones in Cork.
Julian Vigneault's new book with the Collins Press. There's always a huge audience for anything Rory Gallagher. Julian's a great storyteller, knows the music business inside out, and I'm sure that would be a fantastic event to go along to and just relive the wonderful man's life.
Absolutely. All right, that's the inaugural Irish Book Week. It happens from the 27th of October through until the 3rd of November. It happens next Saturday, it's kicking off. And thank you very much, Ivan O'Brien from Publishing Ireland and the O'Brien Press, for joining us to talk to us about it. We wish you well with the Book Week.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
See him driving those golden nails that hold together the silver bars. Then one day gonna take us to the stars, 'cause he's the man who built America. See him walking that golden wire, a million miles from the stars.
fabulous song. I absolutely love that. It comes from Horselips. I lament the fact that we don't hear songs like that on the radio too much anymore, but there you go. That's a song called The Man Who Built America. We're going to take a very quick break, come back to me just after that, and I will be talking to Peter O'Dwyer, who has returned to Ireland from Brussels. We'll be talking about Ireland and Brexit.
Ger Sweeney presenting Live on Era.
Last week on the programme, we didn't have the dulcet tones of Peter O'Dwyer because he was winging his way to Brussels. But I'm glad to say that the senior business reporter in Ireland for the Times Ireland joins us this evening. Peter O'Dwyer, welcome. Good to hear you again.
Thanks, Ger. Good to be back.
And tell me, was Brussels as exciting as you may have thought it would be?
Brussels for these trips tends not to be overly exciting at the best of times, but it was certainly even less so this time round. All the writing was on the walls for the weeks previous, and certainly since that Salzburg meeting that went disastrously for Theresa May, that really a deal was never going to be done last week in Brussels, and so it turned out. So there was nothing in terms of a withdrawal agreement being finalised, but there were two ideas that were being hashed out and that Leo Varadkar was being asked his thoughts about. The first one was the idea that the backstop would be extended to take in the whole of the UK as opposed to just Northern Ireland. Now, that would keep the UK tied to the European Union, to its customs rules and to the single market. It seemed like a non-runner from the very beginning. And certainly when Theresa May's colleagues in the Conservative Party and elsewhere in Britain heard about it, they were absolutely aghast. When Leo Varadkar was asked at a press conference, he said that he really couldn't see the EU signing up to something like that. He said that it would cause huge difficulty. And his point was that why would the European Union sign up to give Britain full access to the single market while also leaving them outside of any commitments and giving them the chance and the possibility to undercut the EU in a whole host of areas like labour laws, state aid, environmental rules, food standards, all these things that we've heard over and over and over again since Brexit. My understanding is that there's a bit of an olive branch from the EU side that they're willing to put a line into the withdrawal agreement to say that if the UK signs up to the backstop, which they've already signed up to, but if they put that into the withdrawal agreement, the EU would insert a line saying that they'd be willing to discuss a UK-wide backstop and that it's no more than that. I've seen it said and seen it reported that it's far more firm than that, that they would guarantee a UK-wide backstop. I don't think that's the case, and I don't think that's a runner.
Right.
The second one was this idea that seemed to come from Theresa May, the potential to extend the transition period. The transition period is what follows on from the withdrawal agreement, which is what is currently being negotiated and which is contingent on the backstop being agreed by the UK. Mm-hmm. So the idea of lengthening the transition period as a means of solving the backstop also seemed to make no sense because you're discussing step three without having finalised step one. Varadkar, when he was asked about it, said that he was open to the idea of it if that's what the UK wanted, but that it was by no means an alternative to the backstop.
Now, Simon Coveney, I think, has had a few things to say over the weekend as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, so we got a little more clarity as to where this idea had come from to extend the transition period. As I say, we were all kind of scratching our heads wondering how this could possibly solve the backstop.
Yeah.
Well, we learned a little bit yesterday when Dominic Raab was, he wrote a piece in the Telegraph in the UK, and he was also on BBC yesterday morning, and he was floating the idea that if we just extended the transition period, then we wouldn't need the backstop at all. He was saying that it was a complete alternative to it, which obviously goes against what was agreed both in March and last December. As you would expect, the Irish government didn't like the sounds of that. I can imagine that the EU negotiators didn't like the sounds of it either, but we haven't heard from them just yet. So Simon Coveney was straight out of the gate yesterday. He said, absolutely not, you know, that's not a runner. And he also said that if the UK wants to go back and, I suppose, renege on the commitments that were made in writing in December and in March, that then everything else that has been agreed, which everybody keeps telling us is 90-95%, then all of that can be put back up for renegotiation as well. So to sum it all up, I suppose we're still very much at that same impasse that we've always been at for God knows how long at this stage. And there's still no clear, not even any clear resolution, but there's still no clear fudge. fudging the matter probably isn't a good idea at the best of times. That's what happened in December. But, you know, sometimes I suppose when you're being pragmatic and practical, sometimes maybe these political deals do have to be fudged a little bit so that you can have more time to work out the details. There doesn't seem to be a fudge on the table at the moment.
Now, as you know, I'm back in Ireland for this week's programme. So this week's programme has been broadcast from Ireland, which I'm glad to say. But also, I've been talking to people on the ground over the past couple of days since I've come back. And they are kind of echoing what I asked you about when Bertie Ahern, our former Taoiseach, said it many, many months ago, that it could run down to the wire, that Europe will say to Ireland eventually, lads, look, you know, can you kind of slacken off a small bit on this? And there's a growing sense on the ground in Ireland that there is going to be a deal done that will not honour the backstop. Have you any thoughts on that?
We heard something similar from Brendan Howland, the Labour leader, last week. He was citing unnamed European sources, MEPs, who were telling him that word had gotten back to him that something like that could happen, that the EU's resolve was weakening a little bit. Anything is possible. We've been burned in ways by the EU before in terms of going back and having to rerun referenda. But I have no sense whatsoever so far that that's the case. While Ireland is obviously centre stage here and is the most vulnerable and the most keen to keep what was agreed when it comes to the final withdrawal agreement, you have to just look at the likes of the French. I mean, Macron is taking an incredibly hard line here, and he's not doing it for Ireland's sake. You know, part of it might be solidarity, but he keeps telling the Brits that they've signed up to what they've signed up to and they have to follow through on their promises, and if they don't, they're not getting a deal.
Right.
I think there's numerous EU countries that really feel like Brexit is a situation that nobody particularly wants to be in, but now that we're here, we have to do a deal. But the onus and the responsibility is on the UK to come up with the solutions, and if those solutions are reasonable, then the EU leaders and the negotiators will play ball.
All right. And finally, Peter, something that got a lot of attention. Leo Varadkar late last week said that there would be, or could possibly be, a return to violence if the backstop wasn't honoured and if there was a hard border.
At the dinner that EU leaders had on Thursday evening last, he brought with him a copy of the Irish Times, which had an article on the front of it that featured an interview with a relative of one of the 9 people who were killed in an IRA bomb attack in Newry in 1972. And he was asked about it the following day and said, listen, it wasn't really centre stage at the dinner, but I brought it as a means of just reminding everybody how important this is and where we were previously and how we couldn't possibly go back. As you can imagine, he wasn't taken quite at his word by the DUP. Sammy Wilson was out the following day, a DUP MP, and he branded Varadkar as vile. He accused him of using terrorist victims to scaremonger. He said that, you know, what he had done was despicable, low and rotten, that he was scraping the bottom of a barrel, that he had taken a sledgehammer to decades of cross-border political progress. I think, to be fair to the Taoiseach, he did say that this is what we're wary of. There is potential for violence to return if there's infrastructure put at the border. You have to remember that this isn't necessarily the Taoiseach's opinion. This is the opinion of the Gardaí and of the PSNI, our police forces on either side of the border. So he's merely echoing the experts, I suppose, on both sides of the border.
And really and truly, finally, a question, just you mentioned the DUP. Are they nervous at the minute, do you think?
I think they're probably petrified at the moment, yeah. Mm. There's a feeling that, and I don't think we're there quite yet, but there seems to be a growing feeling that absolutely whatever hope of doing a deal there was prior to Theresa May calling that election last year and the DUP becoming part of supporting her government seems like it's an impossibility. So there's a bit of a sense that at some stage she might just have to call her bluff and say, listen, this is the compromise we have to make. You know, pull down the government if you like. You'll probably never be in this privileged position. Just as this ticks closer and closer to, well, Christmas and then to March when they actually leave, at some point something's going to have to give, and it might just be Theresa May's reliance on the DUP.
All right. But look, it was a busy time, and I don't doubt that the next couple of weeks are going to be just as busy. Peter O'Dwyer, the senior business reporter with The Times Ireland, thanks as always for joining us this evening on the programme to talk to us about Brexit and Ireland.
Thanks, sure.
Mama, 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 mama I hear that sound everywhere I go. On the regular TV and the radio. And now we're spreading on through the land. I still can't seem to understand. Papa, Papa him now, Papa him now, Papa him now, Papa him now.
Certainly something to get the fingers tapping and the toes tapping. That's a great song from The Freshmen, a great Irish show band back in the day. Papa Umomo.
Ger Sweeney presenting Live on Era.
There are many festivals happening at various times of the year, both in Ireland and in Spain, indeed all over the world, and a lot of them feature traditional music. And there is a place in County Meath, a lovely spot called Trim. And for the first time ever, on the 26th of this month, there's going to be the Trim Trad Festival. And joining me on the phone this evening to talk to me about that is the festival chairman. That's Michael Hughes. Michael, thank you for taking time to talk to us. How are you?
Thanks very much, Ger. It's lovely to speak to you guys.
Hi, thank you. Michael, the first ever Trad Festival in Trim. So tell us about it, please.
Well, we set up a group 3 years ago here called Trim Tourism Network to promote people staying in the Boyne Valley region and to base themselves in Trim and visit the whole Boyne Valley and to get a feel of all the medieval history we have around here and the culture and music that goes with it. And for that purpose, last year we teamed with Race Around Ireland and we set up the Salmon of Knowledge Festival. And at that we had about 30 acts on stage and a lot of them were cultures and traditional music. And we said, this deserves a stage of its own. At the same time as this was going on, Ger, the Flaky on the Heron came to Drogheda this year and it will be back next year. And we said, if we were to start the Trad Fest in Trim this year and ramp it up next year, we'll fill the void on year three in 2020 when the Flav's finished, because it does 2 years in every destination. Yeah. And we'll replace that and have set up a good, strong, traditional music festival down here in Trim and County Meath. And that's exactly what our aim is.
Great. And it's kicking off, as I said, on this coming Friday, the 26th. So what can we expect?
All kinds of things. We've got several of the hotels have bought into this in a big way there. We've got the Fury Brothers playing down here, the Luke Kelly tribute band, Cuscan, loads of music. All the pubs are coming, bringing in different music venues. It's the hotels and we have a local brewery here, brewing beer here, and I have the sponsor as well. We have a Tradathon, a busking competition, not just in Trim, but over in Navan as well, because there's a purple flag and they're doing a Navan festival of buskers as well. So we're busking in both towns, only a few miles apart. Great. At the same time. On they have theirs on Sunday, we have ours on Saturday. So anyone to do with traditional music is going to be zoning in this next weekend.
And you're looking for people to take part in a Tradathon?
Yeah, we're going to have non-stop music and dance and anything they want, anything traditional. We're setting up a stage in the middle of the town here and people can come and just have fun and blast away on that stage. And we've got quite a bit of interest on that already, so it's that's really ramping up as well. But it's anywhere, we want to have it so that anywhere you turn and Trim, you'll have no choice only to get involved in traditional music next weekend.
All right. And for people that don't know Trim, tell me about the town.
Trim is a short distance. It's 35 minutes drive from Dublin. It's got the largest Norman castle in it. They say in Europe, I say in the world because I never went anywhere else.
Right.
And we've loads of other historical things. Wellington came from Trim too, although he hasn't been celebrated as much as he should be. Jonathan Swift, who wrote Gulliver's Travels and all that. We've a massive amount of history, but our thing is to promote Trim as a place to stay and explore the whole Boyne Valley region and Ireland's ancient east. Of course, we're ready to take the refugees when the Brexit happens.
Refugees from across the water. I'm sure there's a few potential refugees listening and they'd be delighted to hear that. They'd be delighted.
Absolutely. Well, with the motorways now, a massive amount of the business we get down here in Trim comes down from the north every summer. Now, we get serious for golf and tours and everything like that. So we the last thing we want to see is the Berlin Wall going back up.
Absolutely. Tell me about contact details or ways that people can look online to see what's coming up and what's happening, and maybe will you be updating social media as you go through the weekend as well?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, on www.stayintrim.ie.
Okay.
And it's Trim Trad Festival. There's a massive amount about it on that, and it'll be getting updated. There's new stuff being added onto it all of the time.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, listen, there must be great excitement in the town based around the first ever Trad Festival, is there?
Absolutely. There is fantastic excitement about it. Like, people know the quality of the acts that are coming down to play, and that's even going to ramp up next year. Next year, we're going to add just a little bit of Celtic Rocket to that as well. We said we'd start small again. But there's the whole area, because we have the Trad Fest here with the Purple Flag in Navan, and then on Halloween night, the birthplace of Halloween is just 4 miles away on the Hill of Ward in Fboy, and Fboy has a massive Spirits of Halloween Festival as well, following straight after. So within a short distance of Trim here, we've got three major things happening here over less than a week's period, you know what I mean, in a 5-day period.
Yeah.
So anyone to do with anything traditional Irish is going to be, it's going to be the place to be, definitely starting next Thursday evening.
And before I let you go, you mentioned twice the Purple Flag, and I don't want people scratching their heads saying, what's a Purple Flag? So tell us what the Purple Flag is.
It's a safe place for people to participate. It's an honour given to a town, as I say, for being able to provide, there's no antisocial behaviour such that it's a safe place to perform and to do their thing. So Navan has that honour this year,
great. And
it's great for that. We have that. Trim is always a safe place to be. We're giving ourselves a constant proper flag here. We also have this year, we launched Trim Passport. So anybody out there in Spain, any of our expats, and I was expat myself there for 17 years of my life in various countries, and I know it's like we get more patriotic, but we have a Trim Passport here with the history of Trim on sale this year there in Trim. So anybody wanting one of those, just get on to us and we'll send them out a passport and they can come to Trim anytime.
Fantastic.
It could be an honorary free personal Trim.
I presume you've spent most of your life in sales, have you?
In sales, not on no I'm construction and now I'm restaurant, but I'm selling wine and food the whole time here. So in the restaurant with Stockhouse in Trim. So anyone visiting Trim, don't forget to drop into the Stockhouse restaurant too for the finest steaks in Ireland.
You'll get me shot. A question for you. If memory serves, wasn't Trim home to a radio station, Atlantic 252?
Atlantic 252, Radio Tara. Yeah, that's correct and right.
That's right.
That's history there now in the making.
Absolutely. So that was the first time I visited Trim, was actually to go and see Atlantic 252 all those years ago. But anyway, there you go.
It's blossomed into a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful town.
Well, I've been there many times since. Yeah, it's lovely.
You're aware of where we're at. And,
absolutely.
And a big hello there to all of our Irish folk out in Spain. And if that little rock on the bottom of Spain comes up for grabs, stick an Irish flag on it.
I tried. I've been there a few times. Listen, Michael, it's been lovely talking to you. I wish you and everybody involved with the Trim Trad Festival happening the 26th to the 29th, so it kicks off this Friday. Wish you the very best of luck. I hope it's a hugely successful event for you and for the organisers and for the people of Trim as well. Enjoy it, all right?
Thank you very much for that, Ger. I really appreciate it.
Tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbyes. His soul's been blessed. He's laid to rest. And as now I feel alone. He was more than just a father, a teacher, my best friend. And he'll still be heard in the tunes we shared when we played them on our own. I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. And I miss him, the old man. As a boy, he'd take me walking by mountain, field and stream, and he'd show me things not known to kings, and secret between him and me, like the colors of the pheasant as he rises in the dawn, and how the fish and make a wish beside the holly tree. Oh, I never will forget him, but he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, my old man. So big and strong, but the minutes fly and the years roll by for the father and the son. And suddenly when it happened, there was so much left unsaid. No second chance to tell him thanks for everything he's done. Oh, I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, my old man.
Ah, that's a beautiful song. It comes from the Furies, and as you heard Michael say during the interview, the Furies will be taking part in the Trim Triad Festival over the weekend, and we wish them all well. That's a lovely song called The Old Man. Right, that is my lot for today and for this week. I sincerely hope you've enjoyed the programme as much as I have enjoyed presenting it to you. I look forward to your company again next week. As always, can I say thank you to you for listening. Thanks as well to Jose Antonio Sierra, our Spanish-Irish cultural consultant on the programme, who works very hard and very diligently to keep an eye out for things that we should be bringing to you. Thank you, Jose Antonio, as always, for your efforts. Thank you to my colleagues here at Talk Radio Europe as well for the continued support and promotion of Live on Era throughout the week. So have yourself a lovely week. Look after yourselves and each other. I'm going to leave you with a lovely song. It's from Celtic Women. The name of the album is The Greatest Journey. Here's a song that's called Dulamon. From me, Ger Sweeney, until we meet again. Bye-bye now. Shen's girl, of course, she called him.
Well, food, I'm a me, yes, and do the man, my rock, do the man, the